Hi, I'm Willow Belden, and you're listening to Out There, the podcast that explores big questions through intimate stories outdoors. Support for this episode comes from Costa Sunglasses. Costa's claim to fame is that their sunglasses are really good on the water. Maybe you're going on a river trip, maybe you're heading out for some sailing, or just hanging out at the beach. Regardless, Costa's have you covered. The company was started by fishermen who wanted to be able to stay out on the water longer. To do that, they designed lenses that let you see beneath the surface of the water and cut through the glare. They also made hinges that stand up to salt water and frames that stay put on your face. And I gotta say, the sunglasses that Costa sent me to try are really nice. Everything is crisp and clear and vivid, and the glasses fit beautifully and look great. If you're spending some time around the water this season, or if you just want a new pair of great sunglasses, head over to costasunglasses.com. That's C-O-S-T-A sunglasses.com. Costa Sunglasses. See what's out there. And now, on to our story for today. On this episode, we're going to talk about a compulsion that I think a lot of us feel. It's the compulsion to keep pushing on until we reach our goals. We argue our way into things, we bulldoze through obstacles, and we pride ourselves on being a person who gets stuff done. But what happens if you suddenly lose that ability? What happens when you can't get things done? When something you've always taken for granted is taken away from you, and you're forced to stop. On this episode, I'm going to share a story about something that happened to me last summer, which completely changed my mindset about what it means to give in. So, my mother always taught me that I should never take no for an answer. If you don't get what you want the first time around, you try again. Ask differently. Keep pushing. Growing up, I took this advice to heart. In college, whenever I didn't get into a class I wanted, I'd show up anyway, and I'd keep showing up until the professor finally let me in. As a journalist, if a source refused to talk to me, I'd badger them until I got a quote. Even when it came to mundane tasks, I refused to take no for an answer. If there was a mistake on my phone bill and the customer service rep said there was nothing they could do, I'd keep arguing until they let me talk to a manager. It was an effective strategy. I pushed hard, and a lot of the time, I got what I wanted. But then, one day last summer, something happened that changed the way I think about this drive to win. For the first time, I was forced to back down in a big way. And that gave me a whole new perspective on my impulse to control things. It all started on a beautiful June morning. I was out for a mountain bike ride and I felt great. My muscles were strong, I was sailing over rocks, and on the downhills, I was cruising. It was exhilarating. And then, all of a sudden, the world was spinning out of control. I was on the ground, my bike was on top of me, and my whole left side felt crushed. I remember gasping, struggling to breathe. It felt like all the air had been sucked out of my lungs. Luckily, I had been riding with a friend, and now there she was, leaning over me, asking me questions. But I couldn't seem to arrange my thoughts coherently. Everything came out all mumbly. We were only a couple of miles from the trailhead, but it was clear very quickly that I would not be able to walk out, let alone ride. Every time I tried to sit up, I got nauseous and dizzy. In the end, my friend called 911. I lay in the trail for 2 hours while we waited for help. The pain was so intense that I was crying. Big, fat, ugly tears. A burning sensation had spread over my left hip and my pelvis. My arms went numb, first the left one, then the right. And every breath felt like I was being stabbed. Finally, medics arrived on ATVs. They poked and prodded me. They asked me if I knew my name and what day it was. Eventually, after the nausea had subsided enough for me to sit up, they loaded me onto an ATV and brought me back to the trailhead. I was given strict orders to stay with friends that day. The medics told me I had a concussion and that I needed to be monitored in case things took a turn for the worse. If I started slurring my speech or vomiting, they said to go to the ER immediately. Luckily, neither of those things happened, but I was still in pretty rough shape. By the next morning, it was a struggle just to form sentences.
Okay, so I'm sitting in my backyard, drinking some coffee. Man, I'm tired.
I was recording an audio diary because I didn't have enough energy to actually write in my journal.
Last night was pretty rough. It was just, I ended up alternating Tylenol and ibuprofen because the triple dose of Tylenol wore off in 3 hours and, you know, it's only so often you can take it. And the night, I couldn't get comfortable. I couldn't get to sleep. Everything hurt. I couldn't get into a position. I just felt like 100% of the time somebody was jamming the sharp end of a screwdriver into the soft tissue around my spine.
So, yeah, it was pretty miserable. And yet, despite all the pain and the fact that my brain was only functioning at partial speed, something surprising was already starting to happen. I remember feeling this odd sense of relief. And no, it wasn't the relief of living through an accident. Instead, it was the relief of knowing that I was allowed to relax, that I had to relax.
Like, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I'm even allowed to do. Like, I have a concussion, which means I can't do work. I need to take it easy. I need to rest my brain. I can't be on screens. We need to limit screen time.
It was like I finally had to get off the hamster wheel. I had to drop everything and let go. And I remember feeling so grateful about the forced relaxation. I rested all weekend. I slept a lot, took quadruple doses of Tylenol and ibuprofen. Turns out, in addition to the concussion, I had sprained some ribs. And sprained ribs are pretty painful. And then it was Monday. I knew I was still a mess. I knew I still had a concussion and that I'd have to take it easy for a while. But I figured I could at least do a few hours of work, wrap up that week's episode for Out There, answer some emails. Turns out I was completely useless. After about 20 minutes on the computer, I already had a nasty headache. My eyes were hurting from looking at the screen, and I was so, so tired. Like, more tired than I can ever remember being. So I shut my computer and I took a long nap. When I woke up, the headache was still there and I felt dazed, almost as if I were tipsy. I started worrying about work. What if I couldn't get the next podcast episode out on time? I had never missed an episode and it seemed unfathomable to miss one now. But at the same time, I knew I couldn't get any more work done that day. My brain was telling me no, and I didn't have the strength to argue. Here's what I recorded in my audio diary that night.
It's kind of scary, really. I mean, my brain is very literally saying, you cannot do anything right now. And if I try to defy it and just push through and go for it anyway, it just shuts me down. And this is the first time where I just, maybe this is the first time ever where I have not been able, where I can't, I have to take no for an answer. I don't have a choice. My brain literally doesn't have the capacity to push through this. Like I can't muscle through it.
Over the next few weeks, my body kept telling me no. The headaches were constant, any amount of time on the computer made my eyes hurt, and I was exhausted all the time. I was sleeping 14 hours a day, and if I even so much as talked on the phone with a friend, I needed a nap to recover. Work was out of the question. A couple of weeks after the bike wreck, I was finally feeling a little better. So I thought, okay, maybe I can handle an hour of something other than just lying on the couch like a vegetable. I thought about opening up my computer and doing some work, but it was a beautiful day, and I decided to go outside instead. I took my trekking poles because I still felt unsteady, and I set off on a very mellow trail, just a tiny baby hike. The fresh air felt good, but I definitely wasn't my normal self.
I can't believe how slow I'm walking. Feels like I'm an old person or something. Because if I go any faster, my head just starts pounding and I feel kind of dizzy and lightheaded.
The going was slow for sure. But it was something. And as I went along, I found myself getting kind of emotional.
Right now, don't have to be strong. And I don't have to prove anything. I just need to do what I need for me. And that's enough. I don't know why I'm crying. I just feel really relieved that I'm giving myself permission to be gentle with myself. And I guess it just feels good to be okay with not giving it my all right now. Sometimes you just need a break.
Sometimes you do just need a break. But you already know that. We've all heard stories about the merits of slowing down, about how you don't always have to give it your all. And don't get me wrong, it was good for me to slow down while I was recovering. It was good for me to listen when my body told me no. Learning how to let go is an important lesson, and in my case, I had to have a brain injury in order to learn it. But the bigger takeaway from this whole experience, for me, went much deeper than that, and it was far more unexpected. Okay, so I'll have the rest of the story for you in just a moment. But first, a word from our sponsor. Support for Out There comes from Wild Woman Box, a monthly subscription for women who get out, get moving, and get it done. Wild Woman just sent me one of their boxes, and it was a really lovely treat. It's pretty rare that I get a box in the mail that has surprises in it. Usually, when a package arrives on my doorstep, it's just something I ordered off the internet. But this box was different. It felt kind of like getting an unexpected care package from a friend. Right, so got a little Wild Woman sticker. And let's see. Ooh, what is this? Oh, this looks fun. This is like a little tiny wallet that straps onto your wrist. So you could bring, I guess, like your key or a little money. That's a good idea. I like that.
The box also had a little package of special tape for repairing gear. It had a cute little tube of sunscreen, which is the perfect size for tucking into a purse or a day pack. It had a card with some words of wisdom about trusting yourself, and much more. When you subscribe to Wild Woman, you'll get a box like that in the mail each month, filled with energizing treats, natural beauty products, all sorts of gear, and inspiration to keep you fired up and focused. For 15% off your subscription, visit wildwomanbox.com and enter the promo code OUTTHERE at checkout. That's wildwomanbox.com, promo code OUTTHERE. Wild Woman Box, fuel your wild side. One more thing I wanted to mention, in case it isn't already on your radar, Australian Geographic has a new podcast out.
G'day. There's a new podcast coming. It's called Talking Australia, and it comes from the same people that bring you the award-winning Australian Geographic magazine. We'll be sitting back and having a yarn with some of Australia's most inspiring explorers, conservationists, and adventurers. Each week, you will hear from extraordinary Aussies from right around this magnificent country on Talking Australia. So make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast from.
And with that, let's get back to our story. It took over a month before I was anywhere near back to normal. And during that time, I had to budget my energy carefully. I found that I could only handle doing one thing each day. Maybe that was an hour of work, or maybe it was a short walk. But I couldn't do both. I simply didn't have the energy. And surprisingly, I found myself prioritizing the walks more and more. Instead of shoving aside outdoor time in order to get work done, I'd do the opposite. I wanted to get my daily dose of fresh air and movement, and I simply didn't let other responsibilities encroach on that. And then one day, it hit me. This idea that you shouldn't take no for an answer, it can go both ways. It doesn't just have to apply to obligations, things you should do. It can also apply to things you just want to do. If I want to spend time out in the sunshine, I can make that a priority. I can refuse to take no for an answer, even if it means postponing my responsibilities. That thought was so liberating. In the past, not taking no for an answer had been exhausting. The drive to win was like a full-time job. And if I failed to come out on top, I'd beat myself up about it. Whereas this new type of perseverance, perseverance in the name of fun, perseverance to keep a healthy balance in life, this was invigorating. Later that summer, when I was finally feeling like myself again, I decided to treat myself to a day in the mountains. A weekday in the mountains. I drove out the night before and pitched my tent in a quiet little campground. Before I went to sleep, I unzipped the rainfly and poked my head into the cool night air.
The moon is not full, it's not even half, but it's really lovely. And there are some stars out.
This little trip was an experiment. It was an experiment about not taking no for an answer when it came to having fun, when it came to recharging my spirit. I knew I could be dogged about achieving things I had to do, but being just as dogged in the name of playtime was new for me. As it turned out, it was not easy to keep a whole weekday free. Colleagues wanted to schedule meetings, producers had questions for me, a freelancer needed my help on a time-sensitive story. I felt guilty telling all these people I wasn't available just so I could go goof off in the mountains. But at the same time, it was liberating to push off responsibilities in favor of doing something just for me. It felt good to be the one saying no for a change. It was a whole new kind of control, of setting healthy boundaries that I had never experienced before. As I snuggled into my sleeping bag that night, everything felt so right.
It's really nice here. I feel very peaceful and calm right now. Watching the moon and the stars and the quiet night sky.
I'd love to say that since that evening, I've made a habit out of prioritizing playtime. But of course, it's not that simple. Work keeps me busy, and I still tend to set aside my own wants in order to get things done. But sometimes, not as often as I'd like, but sometimes, I set aside a day or even just an evening for myself. I pick one thing that I really want to do, and I promise myself that I'll make it happen. That I won't take no for an answer. That story was edited by Becky Jensen and produced by me, Willow Belden. Before you go, I'd like you to take a moment and think about how much out there is worth to you. Really, I'm asking you to actually do this right now. If you had to put a dollar value on out there, what would each episode be worth? A dollar? $2? $5? We've made it really easy for you to support the show by making small contributions on a monthly basis. For as little as $2 a month, you can become a patron through a crowdfunding platform called Patreon. You pick the amount you want to give, and then you can sit back and relax, knowing that you're making an ongoing difference to this show. Just head over to patreon.com/outtherepodcast, or you can also get there through our website, outtherepodcast.com. Thank you so much. That's it for this episode. Our marketing and business development director is Alex Egerking. Our advertising coordinator is Jessica Taylor. Laura Johnston heads up our ambassador program. And our theme music was written by Jared Arnold. We'll see you in 2 weeks. And in the meantime, have a beautiful day, be bold, go outside, and find your dreams.